That's us broadcasting, hopefully. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This would welcome to Loose Learners on Radio Edutalk. This is episode 3. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of May, and I'm sitting here in Glasgow, Scotland, and with me is Marianne Funes. Good evening, Marianne.
Hello, good evening, John.
I hope it's as sunny with you as it is here in Scotland. What a beautiful day today. It's a lovely evening. So
it's been lovely. It has been lovely. And I've been looking at the forecast thinking that you must be going on a few wee walks with this lovely weather.
Yeah, it's good to get out and about. And we are the Loose Learners. We're both teachers. I'm a primary teacher. Marianne teaches in higher education. And we both like using the web to learn and teach. And the purpose of this podcast is really to talk about all things internet and education. And the question is, why are we doing this? And the answer is, because we can. And I think, Marianne, you dug up this wonderful quote here, which answers the question, is the internet good or bad for education?
Yes.
Yes. Is the answer to that. And that is at Zenep, Z-E-Y-N-E-P, who says this. And that sounds it's just a great statement.
I heard her talk at a conference, and she, you know, she says she often uses this when people ask her, you know, is the internet a good or a bad thing? And she says, I always pause and I just say yes. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're looking at the good and bad.
So, we are on Radio Edutalk, the first Wednesday of each month at 8 o'clock UK time. Our hashtag on Twitter, if we remember to add it, is #LLLearn. And today's show is called We Brag. And I think kick off by playing this wee bit of audio here, and hopefully it will come through to everybody out there listening and get incorporated. It's a slow starter.
You like my status. I like your lack of my status. You like my lack of your lack of my status. I like your lack of my lack of your lack of my status. I like your lack of your lack of my lack of your lack of my status. Your lack of my status. I like your lack of my status. Your lack of my lack of your lack of my status. Lack of my status. You like my lack of your lack of my lack of your lack of my status. Your lack of my status.
Well, just that should have played out. I don't think I hooked Marianne up wrongly, so she didn't hear it. Sorry, Marianne. Been a while since I've used Look Back to get audio, but I think it went out in the podcast, and we only played about 40 seconds of the whole audio bit of a 3-minute 26 video, but hopefully it gives you enough of an idea about what it's about. So I'm just going to read the boilerplate with this, Marianne, and then maybe you could talk about it. It's You Like My Like of Your Like of My Status. It's a sound and video installation. Each screen, and there's a bunch of them right across the walls, follows a progressive generative text pattern of increasing likes, liking each other's likes. The text is spoken using a real-time speech synthesis engine. It kind of sounded a bit like the one that you make stuff speak on your Mac, creating an immersive experience that constantly changes, shifting in time, pitch and rhythm. And I think we deserve a like for that, Marianne.
So, do you want to... I shall like your tweet, and then you can like my like.
Yeah, and this is the sort of idea, I guess, of this. Do you want to talk a wee bit about what that video?
Well, we'll put a link to the video on the show notes, and I thought it was well worth watching. Just really as a way of through an artist's eye, to talk about some of the issues that sometimes are, come up on Twitter about how often we a lot of our interactions seem to be around the liking and liking some more and retweeting this and tweeting that, and how underlying all of that is this sense of always working with positivity, and that in a sense does take away from certain things, the quality of dialogue that one could have if everything is based on liking things superficially. The video is really quite interesting because of the fact that it shows you that it's just a short video of what was the original installation, and it shows you all of the different screens as they are kind of interacting, and you get kind of lost in this sort of sense of like everywhere, because it comes from different directions. And I think it does kind of make a statement about what social media can feel like sometimes.
We're going to be talking mostly about Twitter tonight, and obviously it's a huge topic. Our good friend and friend of the Edgy Talk show, Ian Guest, is actually doing a PhD on Twitter for CPD for educators. So it's a deep and long topic, but we're just taking a sort of thin slice, looking at one particular aspect, I guess. And it was kicked off by a post by Dean Sharsky, who's, I don't know if he's in Canadian or American, actually. I've been reading his blog for a long time, but because it's on the internet, I don't really think, oh, that's an American guy or whatever. But he's talking about the reasons that people share online, and goes back to when he started blogging, and I'm sure anybody else who blogs, you begin to get this idea that you're sharing with a lot of other people, and it's nice to share things, it's nice to get acknowledged as well, it's nice to get these likes coming in, but he says a couple of things. He says, when you share to be acknowledged or praised or get something in return, it makes sharing sometimes ugly. And he's really looking at the idea that some people use this as self-promotion as opposed to sharing. And just that idea, and you quite often come across it in conversations with people. And I was kind of thinking slightly contrary to this evening in the run-up to the show, is that if you are self-promoting, is that such a terrible crime? Because there's lots of companies on Twitter. There's lots of people who work for corporations or businesses that promote, even through by paying, promoted tweets. They promote what they do. And the sort of tenure of his post is, he says, selling isn't bad, but he doesn't want to feel like a salesman particularly. I wonder what you think about that, Mariana.
Well, I was just kind of looking through the my sense of the post. I thought it was a really interesting post because it's written in a very balanced way, just as you're saying that it's not. Is not saying one thing is bad, the other thing is good. What I think it's kind of getting at is the idea that the boundaries are confused, and that we are, in some senses, using the narrative of sharing, relationship, friendship, in order to self-promote and sell what we're doing, and that merges things in ways that can be, as he says, it makes sharing into something ugly, in as much as it's confused and you are using the connection, the desire to share that people have in order to promote your wares, as it were. And I think that's where the criticism is, not in that selling in and of itself is bad, but that social media helps and promotes this idea of somehow conflating the two things. Yeah. And whilst sharing is something that one does with with colleagues, with friends, with family, Well, you don't sell yourself to them, do you?
Yeah. And I guess this goes back, again, I was thinking of this, it goes back to way before the internet. I remember when I graduated out of university and had no plan as to what I was going to do. And I ended up on an interview to sell insurance for an insurance company. Now, this was quite confusing for me at the time because I had no interest in this, but, you know, I'd ended up in this interview. And it became clear that the interview wasn't really an interview. It was basically to find out how many social connections you had. And pretty much you could have been taken on as a starter in the insurance selling industry if you were a member of the golf club, if you had a wide social circle of people who would have the money or wherewithal to be insured. And it seemed to me that basically they recruited you to sell insurance to your pals. And, you know, if you could then keep going, perhaps you would have a job. But I didn't get the feeling that that's what they were really interested in. That was way before the internet, that people were wanting to exploit friendship for gain. I mean, unfortunately, at that time, I didn't have enough pals, really, so I didn't take up the job. But we take in education, quite a high moral ground in some of these things.
But I think we should. Mm. You know, because I guess there is a kind of the belief, I guess, of one of what education is about. The post, Shoresky's post, is not directly about education, is it? It's much more general about the way that individuals use their connections and use the notion of sharing, which I guess underpins certainly open education. We know that sharing is inherently a good thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're setting things up in such a way that you're saying sharing is inherently a good thing, but actually now I am going to also overlay on top of that a business model, I think there are serious ethical issues to be considered and talked about. Because you're then saying it's okay for you in the context of, because sharing is inherently a good thing, then you should do that, even when what I'm doing is just promoting the next keynote or the next creativity workshop that I can do or whatever it might be. There's nothing wrong in and of itself of that, but when you're using education in order to get in order to sell, that's when I think, and I think this is what the post is getting to.
Yeah.
It's the confusion, isn't it, that is problematic. And I think social, your example is interesting, and yes, I take that in the context of business. There's always been that sense of, you know, how you use your network in order to get work. So there is a way in which it's inherently confusing. But another element that I think Shoresky brings into the equation is that, whereas in the context of, say, the golf club and my pals at the golf club, I do have a context and I do have a sense of, you know, who these people are. Shoresky talks about the notion of context always often being missing in social media by definition, because people can misinterpret, misunderstand certain things. And I guess that lends itself to misuse.
I'm getting some echo here, Mariana. Did you have headphones drop out or anything?
Is that better?
It seems to be. I have no idea why, though. That's just a slight technical break, folks. So, I mean, one of the things is you put a few bullet points in this document a while ago, but things we talked about and somebody thought. But the first one is, being a braggart does not seem to be the barrier it once was. Now, one of the things that has been seen by people who are evangelical about social media and education is that quite a lot of people don't step up to say their, you know, share their work because they don't want to be criticised for being a show-off. There's an old saying in Scots about, you know, tall grass is getting cut down first. you know, somebody sticks their head over the parapet and says, I think this is good and this is what I'm doing. There's always, I think, been in education, and I think especially in Scottish education, a reticence about putting yourself forward, and that seems to be going away. But it also, that's not a bad thing, because that's what leads to sharing. And it's this very fine line between when it goes over and it's too much, I guess.
I think it's more than that. I think it is, it's about intention. And what I mean by that is, actually, I don't think that being a braggart is good in any context in education. That's not what your job is. Your job is to share what you know. Your job is to share and support people learning. But your job is not to make your little ego bigger by telling everybody how great you are. And if we have a medium that enables that in a way that actually, well, it's more than enable, it encourages, because the essence of Twitter is that. And I've heard, you know, it, and these are true stories, you know, academic institutions that are already not only making the belonging to academic Twitter a requirement, but also as part of the quote performance review, counting how many tweets people have.
Seriously? Oh, that's really...
I'm not joking, no, yeah. I wish I were. And so if you've got that kind of... what effectively seems to be going on is you really are getting to a point where the only thing that counts is quantity.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you're sharing, and you're sharing this, and you're sharing that, but actually all that you're really doing is seeing how and when you're going to get your next keynote. Well, you know, that's not really the point, as I understand it, of an academic network. But then, you know, you know, like the teachers' networks that you were talking about with Ian, when he's doing, you know, stuff that's about continued professional development, he's doing, you know, that kind of sharing is not about bragging, or should not be. It should be about a genuine research exchange, say, you know, ideas exchange. Can we get together and talk about how I do this, because actually it might help you? That's what I understand continuing development and networking across teachers or, you know, or higher ed people be. And it's really not that anymore. I think that's the point that he's making. It's getting to be not that.
So I probably just should mention, I mean, most of the people that I know on Twitter in Scottish education are primary school teachers who are tweeting with a class account or a school account, and it's both basically, I guess, aimed at parents, and it's like, this is what we're learning in class today, and it's part of that conversation with parents and other learners, perhaps, that is the idea of sharing the learning, which I think is just outside the conversation we're having at the moment.
It's a lovely example of what I think Sharesky would put under the heading of sharing. That is the kind of underpinning idea of open education, right? You what you're doing is sharing what you've been doing in class, so that for parents would know. That's a lovely thing. It's using the technology as a way of, well, here I'm letting you know what your little ones are doing today. You know, that's, I think, a kind of clean example of sharing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And use Twitter for that.
Yeah. I was thinking more, it's not in the same sort of... Nobody's really self-promoting themselves doing that. I don't think, anyway.
Exactly. It's separating out the self-promotion from actually the idea of sharing. You know, they're not the same thing, but I think that the danger and that the post was getting to is that we are conflating them. It's becoming like, actually, you know, the meaning of sharing is how often and how many times I tell you about how wonderful my blog is, how wonderful I am, and how wonderful I would be if you actually asked me to come to your institution to do blah, 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 blah. That's not sharing, that's selling. That's the distinction. Whereas your example is a very clean, pure example of actually the intent is to include the family in some way in the learning that the children are doing.
Yeah,
it's lovely. Yeah. That I didn't know that they did that. I've seen you do that, and I think it's lovely. Like, you know, I feel like sometimes that I can. I'm in your classroom because you know you tell me what your bantam bees are doing, and I love that. But I didn't know it was a thing.
Oh no, I think our school does it less than most of the other schools that I know of now. I mean, a few years ago, most local authorities in Scotland blocked Twitter aggressively on their school networks. And now they're, you know, the vast majority of schools, say, in the local authority I work on, are on Twitter and sending stuff out very regularly. Very much as a broadcast medium. There's not a lot of, as far as I know, conversation going on. I've downloaded big troughs of tweets and analysed that replies and things like that to see how much, you know, they're talking. And it's mostly a broadcast medium, but I think it's very useful as this way of, when children come home and you say, "What did you do today in school?" and they go, "Nothing." At least you can hold your phone up and say, "Well, no, tell me about this thing you were doing here today." There's maybe that idea.
Also another nice distinction that you are raising there, that's kind of relevant to the notion of, you know, bragging and so on, and that's the extent to which the process is used for broadcasting information versus an interactional thing. And I guess I would say, you know, you can use the broadcast in the kind of way that you're talking about as much as the conversational stuff, but to me then it goes back to where the intention is. Because some people would say if you're broadcasting then you're not sharing because you're not interacting, right?
Yeah.
It's not connected in that way. And yet you're describing a situation where the school might do the broadcasting, but actually the that can then help the conversations with the little ones in the evenings or when they come back home from school, which again I can see absolutely how that kind of expands the network of the school, really.
So another question we've got here is, and this kind of links, I think, this idea, and it's what is conversation or real conversation, is when people retweet other people who say something nice about them or about their tweet, as opposed to saying thank you. Actually, I don't think I usually do either.
You're so rude.
I never say thank you, but I would feel very kind of weird about retweeting somebody. You know, if somebody ever said anything nice about me on Twitter, I would feel weird about just retweeting that.
I have retweeted in that way with some kind of funny thing saying I'm going to have to brag, you know, because you feel proud or pleased about, you know, somebody that you maybe really value or you really respect, how, you know, actually having a conversation with you or saying something that I could see. Where again, it's a bit like what the Sharesky thing says around the selling and the sharing. There is a line somewhere where, you know, there are some people who retweet anything that's said about them.
I think you can get a bot to do it for you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not surprised because I've seen that, you know, and actually that is what it's a step beyond for me, because actually I'm not really that interested in, what is it they call it, virtue signaling, isn't it, when, you know, you're going, "Oh, look how good I am, you know, oh, I'm so good, you know, let me just show you and give you another example of how good I am." I don't like, but the saying thanks, I say that's a different quality. Because that's about interaction and about relationship building. That if somebody says something really nice or does something, in our case, when we're doing like our digital art and things like that, often it's to do with, you know, somebody has used something you've made and they show you or something. And And we, I think we do say thanks for that, and we are appreciative of that, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I think sometimes people, if I've tweeted about somebody, somebody just sends a tweet back and said thank you. And it doesn't say thank you for retweeting this, and then they do their whole link thing again. It just says thanks.
Yeah.
That I think is quite nice. I mean, I'm probably jumping on a sort of slightly moral high ground here, but that feels quite nice. And that if somebody else saw that and they were interested, they could click on the tweet and look at the conversation or whatever and get it out of there. But they're not doing it for that. They're doing it just to say, you know, thank you, and that's sort of building some social glue more than anything else.
But I can see why these questions come from, because of course, going back to the notion of this sort of sharing, selling, really what it is, you know, what is the interactional model that we each put on, you know, Twitter and the way that we use it. And I say, you know, for some people, the only purpose really to be there is because it increases their network and because they want to sell their wares, whatever that might be. For other people, it's a different kind of model, which is more about building peer relationships in order to learn from each other. Mm. So it's more of a learning kind of thing. For some people, and I've seen this because when I look at how different people use it, for some people, it's never about interaction. It's only about retweeting and broadcasting. Mm. So those people wouldn't even consider the idea of, you know, saying thank you, or, you know, or picking you up on something. And, you know, and I've even seen there are people, and this is definitely a bot, because the format of the tweet is always the same. Some people automate a thing. Thank you. Ooh, much noise going. Are you okay?
Yeah, I think we lost it. I don't. Skype seems a bit dodgy tonight.
Is it not? I'm not coming through.
It just broke up a wee bit there, Mariana. Oh. Do you want to do the last? I think the last sentence again would be good.
Well, so I've seen that some people really do not consider the model for Twitter to be conversational in any way, that it's only broadcasting.
I think that's almost okay. That's different. Like if somebody just hooks Twitter up to firehose their RSS feed out of their blog, for instance, there's not an awful lot wrong with that, because you just don't follow them if you're not interested in reading their blog. And it's just they're providing another entry point.
Exactly. So that's what, right. That's what I mean. So then if the model that you're using, when you come together, people will, I guess, self-select on the basis of what is the model that you want to use. And so some people will do the, as you say, just the broadcasting part. And I've even seen, this is the bit I was saying before Skype got dodgy. I've seen people set up bots in order to automate the saying thank you for the follow. I'm afraid that loses me completely, but that's because my kind of model for Twitter is interaction. Yeah, and it's interaction, it's learning, it's certainly, you know, I do my selling elsewhere.
See, you don't need a new market.
You don't need a new market, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, so then when I say I follow or have a conversation with somebody, and what I get is an automated thing that says, you know, thank you, you know, include person's first name here. It's like, really, I'm not going to be interacting with you again.
When you look at something like Instagram and you're followed by somebody whose account sells handbags, you realise that you're talking to a robot. Unless you're looking for a handbag. So one of the other things we're thinking about is again, this is a choice, and it's to do with this, is how often do you tweet when you produce something? So you write a blog post up until yesterday. When I wrote a blog post, it was automatically tweeted out by Jetpack to Twitter once. I've slightly changed that recently because I'm messing with other things, but I still automatically tweet some blog posts but I do it once and I don't go back. But I know other people think that, you know, that what they're doing is valuable and they want to share it, so they actually stagger it around the time zones.
Yep. Yes, I've seen that strategy. I also have seen the when people are, you know, they want to have something on there each day, because unless you update, you don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a version where they say basically, you know, just resending this because, or, you know, from the archives, mm-hmm. or, you know, just reviewing my blog and thought this might be of interest to some.
Yeah.
So I've seen different strategies. Again, doesn't it? I mean, it's interesting to reflect on these strategies. There is the kind of your personal sense of what you personally would do, as you say. You know, once I tend to be like you, I just have my thing set up for automatically send once, and that's it. And then what I would do if I thought that something I've written was of interest, you know, again, it just speaks to my kind of model of Twitter use. I would think of the people that I know on Twitter who might be interested, and I would send something specifically to them to say, I wrote this thing, it might be of use for that.
Yeah, I think that's just part of this, a sort of sensible sharing, and that's the same as digging something out of the archive, you know, because it's relevant. If somebody says, you know, oh, I'm interested in seahorses, and you remember that 4 years ago you wrote something about seahorses, you know why I'm mentioning seahorses, of course.
Well, it's the sea lioning.
Yeah, I'm looking at this sea lioning note, and it's obviously put sea in my head, and then I've just added a horse. So maybe we want to have a wee thing about sea lioning. Is,
well, it's there was a little while ago, there was a lot that was being said and talked about, you know, I guess, all again, these sort of different ways in which we choose to use Twitter, and how there are often clashes in terms of what feels like the correct etiquette, mainly because we are evolving one rather than have one, right? And the sea lioning thing was an interesting one. It labels that thing that happens on Twitter when, say, you and I are having a conversation and we're talking about blah, 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 and you say, oh, yes, blah, 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 very interesting, and I wonder if blah, blah, blah would be for this and that. And then somebody else who isn't part of the conversation and who may not even be following either you or me joins in the conversation. And so how do you react to that?
I don't actually think it's happened to me, to tell you the truth. I mean, occasionally somebody will react to a tweet that doesn't usually, but it's not. I think of late, at least, I've certainly avoided long conversations on Twitter.
Well, I the idea of the sea lioning, and when it was quite sort of relevant a while back, we were having several conversations about it. There was this little cartoon that, again, we could probably put on the notes, and that talked about this little, effectively it's called sea lioning because the cartoon talks about, has a little sea lion that keeps popping up, and it's always popping up and being a nuisance, you know, and interrupting a conversation is the negative interpretation of the sea lioning. But there is a positive interpretation, which is actually some people may be reading what it is that you're writing, and by definition, it is open, so anybody can read it, and they may be interested. And they may want to contribute, and they may want to ask questions, or they may want to say, well, actually, this is really interesting. What about this? So again, how we interpret that is always so subjective, and there is a kind of very fine line, again, I guess we're going back to that, between the person that interrupts a conversation because they want to contribute and be part of it, and the person that maybe interrupts the conversation because they want to send you, you know, 10 blog posts that they wrote on the topic.
Yeah, and or they want to get you into something. Mariana,
yeah.
When we were planning this series of podcasts a while ago, we were aiming for half an hour. And we were going to have three topics a night. And in planning this one, we thought we'd cut it down to two plus a couple of, one topic plus a couple of links, because we tend to dig in a wee bit to different things. We haven't even, we're past the half hour mark, and we haven't even got halfway down our notes. So what I'm thinking here is we can, I think one of the reasons is it's fascinating, this just analysis, and I've been following, I say we mentioned Ian Guest earlier, been following his work in Twitter for CPD, and it's incredible the amount of thinking and talking and stuff you can do on a medium which consists of 140 characters. Mm-hmm. But so I'm wondering if we should come back and do some more Twitter.
Well, could we do a, this is, we're creating as we do. Yeah. What about, could we do, so we finish today and we say to be continued, and we do part two next week, or next month.
Yeah, I think that'd be quite a good idea, because I'm just skimming quickly down the notes, and
yes, we do
mostly,
have a lot.
Mostly your hard work, but I'm thinking we wouldn't do justice to the whole topic, even the sort of, as I say, we are looking at quite a reasonably narrow slice of Twitter activity, but there's an awful lot in it, and I'm beginning to think of, unless we had another 4 hours, we wouldn't really do this justice. So I'm thinking if we roll this over to the next time, that would be good.
Let's do that, because actually the next bit might be more theoretical and things. Mm. So there is an argument for this was more the sort of practice that we were talking about today, and maybe we'll dig into some of the research and some other ideas when we come back in the next episode.
I'm just going to jump right to the very last wee bit, because we're going to mention briefly a couple of alternatives that are coming up. There's quite a few educators, well, when I say quite a few, I know six, who have moved on to the Mastodon platform.
I know more than you. I know 50.
There you go. So there's at least 50 educators, but there's a bunch of people moved to use Mastodon, and that's quite an interesting thing if people want to dig in. And I know three educators, I think, on micro.blog, which I'm finding.
I know nobody there. Yeah. I don't have an account yet.
Yeah, it is a really fascinating thing that's happening there.
I know that we're going to go over, but do you want to say a little bit about both?
No, I think to do both of them justice would be a third part to this show, to tell you the truth. But both of them seem interesting, and both of them, I think, will swallow up a fair chunk of your life if you let them, especially I think the micro.blog one, if you're the kind of person who is interested in how software develops and seeing it develop and how it works, because it's actually developing as we speak. It's only been alive for, I think, this week, and there's been 3 or 4 updates and bug fixes every 10 minutes, it seems. So if you are interested in that, I would suggest it's an interesting one to jump on, but I think we'd leave that again for another wee while. So we'll just kind of wrap this one up with a bit more liking, and then fade out. If you've enjoyed the show, it would be nice to tweet us with an LL tag, folks, because likes are good. Did I just say that? And we will be back in a month at the start of June to do another episode of Live Learners. So I'm just going to fade out. I've certainly enjoyed talking to you about this tonight, Mariana, and look forward to the next one. So, but we've been.
Bye,
more.
Everyone!
Of my life, of my status, of my status, of my life, of my status, of my life, 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 of